directions on the screen.
I can't do it now?
Well, it doesn't make sense to me. We have to wait on you before we can sing. 2:12. Nothing but the blood. We got a few people still getting there.
7:01
Eastern Standard Time.
And 2:12. Is that what you said?
2:12. Nothing but the blood. I'm sure I can see that. Yeah, that looks right. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Get the idea that I'm going preaching on the blood tonight, but you'd be wrong. I just wanted to sing about it. 232 in your hymn book. When I see the blood, I will pass over you.
Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his dues, sprinkle your soul.
Blood. When I 198. Sound like I got the Andrews sisters up here with me. The Jenny sisters.
I was going to say, there were more sisters than that.
What page?
198.
That big TV up there.
Yeah.
As
a,
198, there's power in the blood. Sing it out. Singing about Jesus. Amen. All right, musicians will be seated and we'll get the prayer cards filled out and remind the folks online to send your prayer card to bbfohio@protonmail.com. Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Yes. The one that says, please keep this card.
Yes. Thank you.
All right, hold on. Do I need to move the back camera or is it good?
Should be good.
Okay. I know you said at one point you want to minimize touching it.
Yeah.
You want me to check or do a sound check?
Just look at it. But it's set up so it should be about right here on over. So it should be good to go. You just took care of live stream, camera, and sound check. We welcome those online. As I said, get your prayer request into bbfohio@protonmail.com. You can't hear anything?
Thank you.
Here, Johnny. We'll be right with you on honors.
As far as I can tell, unless this is... Is this plugged in?
Yeah, it's on. Everybody got to enjoy it out there. We apologize for technical difficulties. And if you know somebody, or you can write this information down, if you're ever in a place where you don't have internet access, you can call this number, and if you forget it, it's on our web page, bbfohio.com, right below where the live stream is. The phone number is 712-432-3410, and you put in the church code 86903, and Jenny, you just did it, and it works.
Yeah, so you call the number, and it says if you want to listen to the live stream, you press 2 or something. You have to push 2 buttons and then put the code in. It's pretty easy, and it works. I just tested it.
I tested it. You could do a little video.
So if you don't have internet and you want to hear, you can hear, you can't see it, but you can hear it live. And as I said, if you're going to be on the road or something and you're not going to have Wi-Fi, write this information down and use it when you're on the road. And that's also a service provided by Sermon Audio. And a reminder that radio program is up and running. So far, so good. At 8:80 a.m. and 104.5 FM. Those are simulcast, same station, one's AM, one FM. If you're in Franklin County, the FM sounds pretty good. If 8:80 a.m. hits about 80 different counties and also has listeners on the edge of Indiana, Pennsylvania, and some folks head in parts of Kentucky. So it's Saturdays at 9:30 a.m., yes?
Did Pastor Bernie already say stuff about our show?
I don't even know. I don't know. I didn't listen.
He might say something, right?
Well, I don't know. They are running a regular ad, and then next week I go in to be interviewed for a local ministry segment with Ann Ray.
Okay.
Who's been there for a long time with that radio station. And then that'll air sometime in the next week or two after that for a week.
Okay.
So... we just praise the Lord for every opportunity. Amen.
Amen.
And save your comments to the end of the update, please, as we go into our current events update. Liberal commie censorship is the story of the week. I mean, there's all kinds of liberal commie things going on, but it just amazes me. In the 80s, a lot of the same people that I grew up with who are now liberal commies who want to censor everybody. Back in the 80s, that was like the ultimate unpardonable sin. If you censored somebody, you were scum of the earth. Guess what, liberals? Now you're the scum of the earth. That's who's the scum of the earth right now, is liberals. This is from OAN, but this is reported widely, of course, that there's a House of it's Congress, House of Representatives in Washington, D.C., a House panel to hold a hearing on alleged disinformation in the media. What that means is if you're not reporting the hogwash that CNN is reporting, then you are, according to the liberal communists, you are reporting disinformation and must be silenced.
That's not a positive thing.
No. A House committee is set to hold a hearing regarding alleged disinformation in broadcast media. Members of the House Subcommittee on Communications Technology said Wednesday's hearing is to examine, quote, disinformation and extremism in the media, end quote. That is basically anybody who has not gone along with the liberal propaganda. Liberals lie. And if you don't know that already, there's something wrong with you. I've been saying that for years, and I don't think anybody here is clueless about that, but I ran into an awful lot of Christians who are completely clueless about what the liberal program and agenda is. And the hearing has been criticized as a partisan ploy, you think? As a memo outlining its intention cites articles which specifically accuse Fox News, Newsmax, and OAN of spreading misinformation. This comes after members of the panel sent a letter to several cable companies asking whether they will continue to carry conservative networks. They're trying to pressure your cable company, whether it's WOW, Spectrum, AT&T, Dish, and DirecTV, all the satellite. They're trying to pressure them into not running anything but liberal propaganda, just like they did in communist countries.
Yep.
It's exactly what they want. It's only up till recently you couldn't go to an airport without having the communist news network, CNN. And just recently, for whatever reason, they dropped that contract. And so now the airports are supposed to have more variety. I don't know what was behind that. But the fact is, radical Democrats are trying to censor One American News as well as other top conservative outlets from TV airways. That's the fact. This is an attack on our Constitution and the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights. That First Amendment says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. That's all the COVID lockdowns are trying to do. It goes on to say, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. That's the First Amendment. They used to teach that in school. Now, exactly what this House committee is trying to do is abridge the freedom of speech and of the press. It's exactly what they're doing. And that's why we support Alliance Defending Freedom. Back on the back wall there, you can read a little about what they're doing. And this will go to court. And if the conservative judges, the ones that are supposed to be conservative, if they will abide by the Constitution, they'll throw this law into the septic tank.
Amen.
Of history. But that's the reason why we're even talking about this. Liberals hate free speech. Liberals fight to take control and then silence anybody that differs with them. If you go to any of the universities, they have what they call free speech zones. And if you're not in the circle, you're not allowed to speak freely. And even in the circle, if you say the wrong thing, they will harass you and try to shut you down. They've done it at Ohio State University. They've done it in the universities all across the country. And if that don't work, then when a conservative or Christian goes onto those campuses to speak, then they rally a bunch of people to throw food and to scream and yell and to try to block the entrances to keep people out, and they end up canceling a lot of those lectures because the liberals cannot stand open, free speech. They hate it. That's why it was the liberals who took control of our television and radio stations. And only in radio did you really have a sizable number of radio stations that were not left-wing liberal until Ronald Reagan. And when Reagan came in, he was able to get some of the FCC regulations and rules changed, and that made it more affordable. And that's when people like Pat Robertson started CBN. And and TBN and all, and they got, I know, a bunch of garbage on there, but there's once in a while there's somebody good on there too. You have to choose between all garbage or a lot of garbage with some good. That's what you're choosing from. So the liberal commies use their power over private companies to do the same. You know, like Facebook. It's not unconstitutional what Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter are doing. It's not unconstitutional. It's the reason it's illegal is because it's a violation of the laws that have been established to stop companies from being monopolies. Antitrust laws are being violated, and our Congress and Senate are doing nothing. You know what they're doing? They're actually calling for more censorship. They're not doing anything to do away with the antitrust monopolies that are going on. Here's another example. This was reported by CBN News. Outright censorship. D. James Kennedy Ministries says it was forced off of Lifetime TV. D. James Kennedy's Truths That Transform. They play some of D. James Kennedy's evergreen sermons, you call them, the things that where he addressed issues, not particulars, so that you can play them and they apply to general cultural issues and that. Then they also have special programs where they bring on attorneys and Christians who are being persecuted and politicians who are giving updates on what's going on. And Lifetime TV wants to shut them down. Earlier this month, the Lifetime Cable Network reportedly gave an ultimatum to D. James Kennedy Ministries. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
To eliminate all controversial content from Truths That Transform, its weekly half-hour Christian television series, or the ministry's program would be pulled from the network. That's exactly what happened to us. That means stop telling people the truth that transforms, which is the name of their program. Lifetime told the ministry it would no longer air programming that addressed issues like abortion or left-wing financier George Soros.
You know, that's fascinating. How
convenient. Yes, well, convenient. How that's evident. I mean, it's just obvious who's behind all this.
Yeah.
And it refused to carry any of Truth That Transform programming, even broadcasts celebrating George Washington, unless the ministry founded in 1974 by D. James Kennedy agreed to Lifetime's sweeping new demands. They had to agree not to put anything against abortion, anything against transgenderism, anything against gay marriage, not put anything against the liberal agenda, not to talk about George Soros, or their program comes off the air. Well, I'm happy to report that unlike Max Lucado, Truths That Transform did not apologize.
Good.
And they did not agree to do so. So they're off of Lifetime, but they'll spend that money somewhere else, and they'll put their programming somewhere else. Now, this is not unconstitutional. Lifetime TV doesn't belong to the government, and it's a cable network. It's not over the air, so it's not bound by some of the FCC regulations that your local Channel 4, 10, 28, 6, several others. It's simply wicked It's not unconstitutional, but it's just wicked. And that's why we canceled Dish and don't have cable. We paid a one-time fee for one of those sticks that you put in your TV. There's several to choose from. Roku's one of them. Cloud TV's another. I don't know if they got as many stations, but we can pick and choose what channels we want to watch. Some are free and some cost you $2 or $3 a month, but for the 100, or I think most people are paying at least $50 to $75 a month for garbage. You can use something like Roku, or you can even hook your computer up with an HDMI and put anything that you watch on your computer goes on your TV. And then you can pay anywhere from, I think OAN is $1.99 a month or something like that. And you can have good, solid news coverage. Newsmax right now is free. America's Voice, Real America's Voice with Steve Bannon and some of those guys, it's free. Then you can also, I'm trying to think, there's another one called First Voice or something like that. Now I can't remember what it's called. The lady from the NRA.
Yeah. I think it's First America. I'll find out.
But anyway, they're free, and it's brand new. That's why I can't remember. We just started getting that a couple weeks ago. But I'm just telling you, if you will, you could spend half the amount of money you're spending for cable and get it's called PureFlix. And if you pay the one-time annual fee, it's about $80-some, which comes down to like $7 a month. And it's all you can watch. Movies, sitcoms, what's that? Sue Thomas, FBI, we watch that. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of other old, sitcoms on there and all kinds of movies. So I think if Christians become educated and turn off the cable and the dish and all that, it'll make a difference.
Radio but America.
That's not it. Yeah. Look at, before we close out our current events, go to Psalm 64. Psalm 64, just the first six verses. I'll read verse 1 while you turn there. Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Read verse 2. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity. You see, they are doing this stuff in secret. It is a conspiracy. Christians need to get over the fact that liberals use the word conspiracy just like they use the word hate, just like they use the word bigot, just like they use the word discrimination. Those words don't mean anything anymore. And when they accuse you of conspiracy, don't run from it. Admit it. I mean, we're supposed to be honest. And I know, this isn't a theory. Liberals are conspiratorial. They do what they do behind closed doors. They bribe. And sometimes they blackmail to get what they want. Just like it says here, hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity. Read verse 3. Who wet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. And they say perfect, but the Bible says that it's not sinless. People read that in there. It means someone who's standing with the Lord, standing firm on the truth, and they shoot in secret. A lot of what has happened with the Trump administration, this January 6th so-called insurrection that was Antifa, BLM, who then suckered some of the Trump people in joining them, and they found a few people involved with Oath Keepers. Listen, folks, again, if that was an insurrection, if the liberals think that's an insurrection, they've got another thing coming.
Yeah.
When the insurrection happens, not if, and I believe it'll happen after the rapture. I just believe because I won't go into that detail, but when the insurrection happens, you will have millions of gun-owning Americans shooting at you. What happened on January 6th with a picnic with your Sunday school class? compared to what a real insurrection in this country will look like.
Yeah.
And all the idiots on your boob tube and the local news and national news referring to January 6th as an insurrection are mentally retarded. They haven't got the sense God gave the rear end on an ape. Or they just know they're lying. Just think about it, folks. How many millions of Americans own, and most of them own, multiple guns, hundreds of rounds of ammunition? How many shots were fired January 6th?
None. Just the one when they killed the...
Like, they were fired upon.
Right. Yeah.
The people in that Capitol didn't fire a shot. That's how stupid your news media is. Your lying Democrats and rhino Republicans in political office are, and anybody who believes that was an insurrection, you're all stupid. If you believe that. If not, you're a liar.
We're just gullible. Extremely gullible.
And there may be some of those.
What is an insurrection?
Verses 5 and 6, read that and we'll close it out. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of laying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. Both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. And we'll stop there. But I'm telling you, we sit there and watch this stuff. And Jenny, she has it right. She says, you know what? They might get by with it right now, but at the great white throne, this is all coming out. They're all going to be exposed and they're going to be cast into an everlasting lake of fire.
Amen.
Hold on one second. And this is what I want to say to all of our liberals who are trying to shut the Bible out of everything in our country. If the Bible is just a fairy tale, why is it banned in 52 countries? No one goes to prison for reading Cinderella. If it really was made up, then it's supposed to have no power. So why ban it? It's banned because it's the most powerful, freeing, and transforming truth. Amen. Johnny, what are you going to say?
I have two good points here. One.
Got to make it quick.
Okay.
So sorry, I ran out.
You know, seeing the companies that are trying to ban people and stuff, realize it's basically just what I heard happened in the past where they would have, what is it, like restaurants who would say whites only. So now they're turning around and now they're saying liberals only.
Yes.
But also, I also came up with a perfect verse for nowadays. Well, I mean, almost perfect, but which is John 9:22. Because it's the one where Jesus just...
Go and read it. Yeah, you got it up in there. Read it.
He restored the sight of the blind man, and his parents are being questioned by the temple people, and it says, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. The Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue.
Cancel culture.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
You hit the nail right on the head, Johnny. That's exactly right. That's where we are. This is a book related that I haven't read yet, but I'm looking forward to reading. Breaking the News. Investigative media blockbuster rockets to number 3 on the Amazon hours after launch. Alex Marlowe. And he's exposing the establishment media's hidden deals and secret corruption. That's what we just read about in the Psalms. Ain't nothing new under the sun, folks. All right, I already gave Johnny, but if you have any questions, comments, or anyone wants to attempt yodeling. Doug, you're first.
Yes,
poor lady.
I just thought of... my fellow guy,
Mike Lindell.
Yeah, he basically, since he went against the liberals, now they're trying to
cancel him.
Sue him and take all of his money. What is it, $1.5 billion?
$1.3 or something like that. Billion.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
But it's the idea that the liberals say we are so open-minded, but yet if you go against them, then they're closed-minded.
Yeah.
Take your business from them.
Absolutely.
I just told them to. Open-mindedness doesn't mean your brains fall off.
Yeah, yeah. First, Janine, then I'll go.
Yeah, you're talking about how they're trying to get rid of, like, you mentioned news, what is it?
News
facts and that. Mm-hmm. I still get News Nation on my phone, and with my antenna, I'm able to get, you know, America Voice, and I also get one called Newsnet, which is based towards, you know, trying to get the truth out there.
Just the News is another one, and yeah, it's all good. Breitbart's another good one. Jack?
You don't need freedom of speech when you have the absolute truth, and they believe they do.
Yeah.
And it's interesting.
There's no reason for you to talk, Jack, because we already know everything. You don't need, you know, that's exactly what you're saying. That's true.
Exactly. But it's interesting that we do believe in freedom of speech, even though, you know, the church possesses the absolute truth.
Right. That's the irony of it, is we know we have the absolute truth, but we believe in the freedom to believe otherwise. But, Jenny, was you going to say?
I was going to ask, do you have any thoughts on the Blaze? Glenn Beck's website? Like, I've been going there for news.
Yeah, I use the Blaze from time to time. A lot of their content's pay. You have to pay to have, but the free stuff I look at. Yeah, I think it's as good as any of the secular liberal, you know, better than any of those.
Okay.
Yeah. Jill, was you going to say?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. She was just waiting. All right, well, let's get into our study in James chapter 1 after a word of prayer. And ask Brother Johnny, if you would, open the Bible, say the prayer.
Yeah, dear Lord, just thank you for this. Thank you. Continue to protect us and preserve us in spite of how dark and wicked things are getting in this country. But Lord, we pray you'll continue to have mercy on us and all the, and just help all the righteous people all over this country to stand up and do what they can to stand up against this.
Yes.
At least until the rapture.
Amen.
And I pray you'll bless the message from your word, and just pray you'll help us all to continue to remember all that you've promised and to see the world the way you do. So we can get through this tough time. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. All right, we're going to start a study of the book of James tonight. James 1:1, the originally intended recipients. That's not quite as good a title as Jill's mom's book, but it's still...
But it's a nice big word. I appreciate it.
So if you're there, James 1:1, we're just going to read that one verse this evening, and we have plenty to dig into as we start our study. Read that with me. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. We begin our study of James with a look at the human author of God's divinely inspired words. And there's a reason why this is important for you to understand. And we'll get into that as we continue the study. But the name James, I just want to mention this, is the English translation of Jacob. And the Textus Receptus, you would find Jacobus is Jacob. And Jacobus is the Greek transliteration of Hebrew, and that's where it comes from. So that's why, for example, of the Stuart family, the Stuart and Stuarts in England, you have King James the First of England. They have Scottish titles too. I don't try to keep up with all that. It's, I think it was King James the First and King James the Sixth of Scotland. And but anyway, those who followed the family, the Stuart line through King James the Second and the Third, they were called Jacobites and Jacobins. And I won't get into all that, but the Stuart line was then replaced by the House of Windsor, and that was George. And I believe it was the third that was king whenever the revolution took place. And he served for about 60 years. There were only two monarchs in England that served longer than King George III, Victoria and Elizabeth, who's alive now. Guess who number four was? King James the First. Yeah. That's not really useless information, by the way. It's good information. But anyway, so Jacob is James. And James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then you have to ask, which James? Because there's more than one. And I'll quote Peter Ruffman from his Ruffman Reference Bible, the notes on James, page 1617 in the first edition. Quote, the writer of the epistle is undoubtedly James Zebedee. I love that last name. As a matter of fact, if Charlie and Olivia were going to have a boy, I was going to recommend Zebedee as a name.
That's a good name.
Yeah. It's fun to say.
So,
yeah, there might be some Zebedees out there that are called Zeb. How do we know who this James is? It's scripture with scripture. But I want to start with just the chart that you can get on our website. You know, we've got 37 charts, and they're all free, PDFs. Go to bbfohio.com, resources at the top banner, and then click on charts, and then you can download them. The 12 apostles, how many do you think you could name if I didn't show you that chart? Most Christians can only name a handful at most, and I'm one of them that gets kind of mixed up once in a while, and I lose one or two. But Simon, Peter, and Andrew are brothers. And then is James and John. If they lived today, they'd be called James Zebedee and John Zebedee, or they might be called James Zebedeeson and John Zebedeeson, because they're the sons of Zebedee. That's where names like Carpenterson and
Johnson,
son of John, you know. I don't know of any Millersons, but
Williamson,
yeah. So anyway, that's one of the James, and there's Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, who's always called Doubting Thomas, and that's a very unfair name to use for him. He was a Berean, is what he was. Then number nine is James Alphaeus. See, there's another James. And then there's Judas Alphaeus. They were brothers. And then Simon, not Peter, but Simon Zelotes, the zealot. And then is number 12, Judas Iscariot, who was betrayed. He's called the betrayer, removed. And then Paul, once known as Saul, was appointed in Acts 9 to replace him. So those are the two James of primary concern, because one of the requirements for these general epistles, it was that they were authored by an apostle. Now, how many of you know what an epistle is?
It's a letter.
Wife of an apostle.
It's not a wife of an apostle. I was glad you said that. It's a letter, yes. Jessica, was
John Mark?
No, that's John Zebedee. Yes.
That was like Paul's time, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was younger. He was younger.
He wasn't an apostle.
Right. So, you're always sorry. You've got
a
reason to be sorry. That's the only way you learn is you ask questions. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Hey, you know how many times when I'm studying, I think I know something, and I'm like, oh, I was wrong about that. I don't go around saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm going to come in here and apologize to Jessica every time I mess. I'm sorry, Jessica. She's going to be like, what? You're sorry for being sorry? Was you saying something? Oh, that's somebody else. But okay, go ahead.
I was just curious. Was there ever anything said about the disciples' other 12 apostles that they put in?
Matthias.
There's a lot of debate about that. You don't read anything about him after that, though. I don't believe he was actually an apostle, because not everybody knows. There's debate about it. There's a lot of people say he was and everything, but they cast lots, and that's not the way Jesus chose his apostles.
No, he didn't.
So I don't believe he was actually.
Yes.
Yeah. Doug?
Which one of the Jameses? I'm getting kind of.
Well, that's where we're going. We're not done. We're not done.
Jesus' half brother.
Yeah, there's. Yeah, none of those two were Jesus' half-brother. So Peter, James, and his brother John were a committee of three given preference on most occasions. And that's who this James is. Look over at Luke 5:10. Luke 5:10. And so we don't have time to get into the context of every one of these, but you can just see the point in verse 10. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. There's the three. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Amen. So you see these three together a lot. And Peter, James, and John were the only others in attendance at the Mount of Transfiguration. You might remember in Luke, we studied that in Luke 9. But we're going to look at Matthew 17. You see Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. And it says, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and the next words, and was transfigured before them. So you see those three were kind of the chairman of the board. There were 12 apostles, and these three men were Jesus kind of chose them, not kind of, he did. He chose them, and that's why they were frequently alone with Jesus. Look over again at Mark. Mark chapter 5 and verse 37. Mark 5:37. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. So there it is, three. And Luke 8:51 says, and when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. So Jesus, it looks like he just, there are times where you just don't bring the whole crowd. So he would bring these three. Now, from time to time, along with the three, you'll see Andrew, who is Peter's brother, Simon Peter. His brother was sometimes added and would accompany them. And it seems that Jesus kind of let Andrew tag along because he was Peter's brother. There's never a time where Andrew's tagging along and there's any real purpose of him being there. But it's only on a couple of occasions. So Peter, James, and John were the first listed in the upper room. Look at that in Acts chapter 1. After the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they're gathered in the upper room. And Acts chapter 1 and verse 13. And it says, and when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John. And look who's number 4. And Andrew. And then he lists Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. Because remember, there are two Judases. And James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James, also of Alphaeus. These all continued with one accord, and this is where we see that they cast lots for a replacement of Judas, and then we don't see that replacement any time after that. So James was the first apostle then to be martyred. Look over at Acts 12. Acts 12, verses 1 and 2, and this is important. And see, what you're doing with me tonight is how you, when you read the Bible, you try to make note of events and things going on because it matters. And it says here in Acts 12, verse 1 and 2, go ahead and read those with me. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. James wasn't the first martyr. Who was the first martyr? Say it again. Don't be afraid.
Stephen
in Acts 7. But James is the first apostle to be martyred here in Acts 12. So this means, well, first of all, I'll say this and then we'll talk about it. This means the epistle of James was written prior to 42 AD. How do we know that? By doing the math, you find out that what happened in Acts 12 happened around 42 AD. And if James is the author of James, he didn't write this epistle posthumously. And so it was written before he was killed, which means it was written before 42 AD. Now, that's an important thing to consider. Only Paul's epistle to the Hebrews is possibly older than the epistle of James. The epistle of Paul to the Hebrews was written possibly as early as 35 AD. And it was written before 70 AD, obviously, because he's talking about the sacrifices and the temple still going on. But it's believed that it was written possibly before this even happened. It had to happen after Acts 9. That's when Paul became a Christian. Sometime between Acts 9 and Acts 12. And so I put that in question marks. It might have been closer to 40 AD. Either way, if you read Hebrew and James, one of the things you'll find is that you don't see a lot of the theology that you find in Paul's epistles to Rome, his epistles to Corinth. He wrote two in our Bible, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and the epistles to 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, Philemon, all those, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, almost left that out. All of Paul's epistles from Romans through Philemon contain the revelation of the mysteries and the mystery of the church, the mystery of the incarnation, the mystery of the body of Christ, I should say, and the church. We're going to get in more discussion about that as we go through James. But that's why when you read James, you don't see a lot of the influence of Paul's revelation in this epistle, because it was written before the revelation was given. And, you know, that's just a fact. It's a reality. And a lot of people read their Bible and don't take these things into consideration. And it causes a lot of problems with their theology. So with that, we come to the point of the title, the originally intended recipients. Again, James 1:1, if you want to turn back there, now that we've looked at the author of James, a servant of Jesus Christ and of the Lord Jesus Christ, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who's he write the epistle to? Are you there, James 1:1? To the 12 tribes, which are scattered abroad, greeting. Scattered. You notice that word? Not lost. How many of you hear about the lost tribes of Israel, or the 10 lost tribes of Israel? The Bible never calls them lost. You do the word search in your Bible, you'll never... I better be careful. Your King James Bible, I don't know what the other ones say. But you do a word search in your King James Bible, you'll find they are not called the lost tribes of Israel. Comparing Scripture with Scripture, Israel is only referred to as lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's, again, an old Gregism that I stole from somebody down the years ago. Things that are different are not the same. Lost sheep is not lost tribes. So just for a little appetizer, Jeremiah 50 verse 6 starts with God prophesying through the prophet Jeremiah to apostate Israel. And he says, "My people have been lost sheep." Not lost tribes. God knew where the tribes were. But they were lost souls. Not lost tribes. Again, it's a very important thing to note. Look over what Jesus says in Matthew 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. He says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. Read verse 6 with me. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I've actually been talking to, I'll just be honest with you, a lot of times it's anti-Semites, but other times it's people who are non or anti-dispensational, and they want you to believe that God doesn't have any reason or any purpose for Israel and that kind of thing. And I'll be talking to them, and they'll quote Jesus, but they'll misquote it. And they'll say, Jesus talked about his ministry being to the lost tribes of Israel. And because, that's why I'm telling you how important to note this, if you're not paying attention, you're lost. You'll trip. You'll fall into the pit. If someone comes up to you and says, Jesus talked about the lost tribes of Israel, and you're thinking, well, that sounds familiar. Well, it's familiar, but it's not exact. Because he says, lost sheep of the house of Israel. The tribes aren't lost as far as God's concerned. Here's the original 12 tribes. Leah had Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun. Rachel had Joseph and Benjamin. Yeah. Bilhah, Rachel's maid, had Dan and Naphtali. And then Zilpah, Leah's maid, had Gad and Asher. All fathered by Jacob. And if you think you want to have plural wives, just go back and read about all the nonsense he had to deal with. You'll think twice about polygamy. Johnny?
Okay, what's the purpose of them trying to make this think of lost tribes?
Well, because they want you to believe that God destroyed them and they're lost and there's no purpose for Israel now.
Okay.
And it's none of that's true. None of the above, as they say. By the way, these are listed in Genesis 35, 23 through 26. That's the 12 tribes. Now, God will choose 144,000 out of the 12 tribes, minus Dan, plus Manasseh, very soon. No offense. That's in Revelation 7, 4, verse 8, where these are the tribes as listed. Now, why am I saying that? Because, like I just said, they're not lost as far as God's concerned. You know what? Israel's doing DNA, and they're trying to figure out all these tribes and people. They think they've got the tribe of Levi, and they, for some reason, believe that the Kohens are the descendants of Aaron. I don't know how they proved that, and maybe the name Kohen somehow comes from the name Aaron. I haven't looked into it enough to know. I need to spend some time on that. But God knows exactly where they are. And he's going to choose out of these tribes 144,000. Judah, Reuben, Gad, Aser, Naphtalim, and Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, Benjamin, and I saved these last for because Dan is removed and is replaced by Manasseh. And that's a very interesting thing. If you go back to Genesis 49, it talks about Dan's rider being thrown. So it looked like Jacob was fully aware this was going to happen in his prophecies. So they're not lost. God knows exactly where they are, and he's going to choose 144,000 of them. 12,000 from all 12 tribes. Isn't that interesting? So they're not lost. So again, scattered, not lost. And so a lot of people go into James thinking that they're reading a book written to the 12 tribes that are lost. And it's not. It's written to the 12 tribes scattered. And that's where we begin our study of the Epistle of James. And we're emphasizing the reason why you need to learn what we discussed tonight and what we'll discuss next week, Lord willing, and the church don't rise, is context. And very impressively, Jenny Albaugh listed off the main three rules of interpretation Sunday. And how many of you have paid attention? What are those three rules?
Context.
There you go.
Good job.
The mass majority of misunderstanding, the mass majority of claimed contradictions and all that go away once you pay attention to the context. We know that it's written by James before Acts 12, because that's when he died, and written to the 12 tribes scattered. Next week, we'll cover these other points, and we'll know more about the context we're reading, and that will then enable us to better understand what we're reading in the book of James. Amen?
Amen.
So we'll have the musicians come forward and turn to page 208. Are you washed in the blood, or if you're from my neck of the woods, it's washed. While the musicians are coming, I emphasize again, learn the word in preparation for the battle. Don't wait for the battle to be raging before you learn the word. We're going to see James has a lot of practical theology, practical truths. People try to mix it up and they make it about salvation, and it's not. But if you pay attention to its practical application, James will do a lot to prepare you for what life will throw you. And that's what our emphasis is on. So, 208, if you can, stand. And let's sing, Are You Washed in the Blood?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing path? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace and now? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are you
Folks online, if you got your prayer request in to bbfohio@protonmail.com. Those of you here in the building, you can bring those forward as we say goodbye on three. One, two, three. See you here, there, or in the air. Good night, everybody.